The final reading in the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke 13:22 went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thirst out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. 22 through 30, if correctly read, out of the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Let me say to those of you who provided the new suit for me, this is it. Isn't it pretty? Beautiful, and I shall always appreciate it. I'm sure that God will bless you for it. See, after all, everywhere I went, somebody gets saved, you get part of the reward. We never realize a lot of times what we're doing. I remember one time, I was thinking about this today, when I thought about how you gave me this suit. Father, keep on going and preaching for God. I got a call one day, many years back now, and the lady said, come and pray for my husband. Said he's down on the floor in a conviction. We've done all we can do, and he wants you. And he run a big liquor store. And I said, I can't get there. She said, why? It was 9 miles away. I said, I hadn't got enough gasoline and no money. And I was in a strange place. And I didn't know about where money's from. And didn't know no way to get gasoline on the credit. I said, I'll pray if the Lord opens up the way, I'll be there. Quick as I can get there. I left the telephone and went out. And the Frisco Railroad was along by the side of where it's at. And our old engineer crawled off that train to stop. He said, first grade, said, I can't talk in public. I can't pray in public. And he said, all I do is run a train. I know how to engineer this train. And he said, I want you to take what money I got and win somebody Jesus for me. He's just as crazy as he could be with his overalls on. Got his old pocketbook out and didn't have but $10. He handed me the $10 and I whirled around and run to my car and said, what's your hurt? I said, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I drove to the station. I said, give me $10 of gas in a hurry. I said, what's your hurry? I said, somebody's going to hell and got to get that. So I got up in Tennessee. The old fella's so under conviction. He's laying there in green saliva running out of his mouth like he's having a fit. They worked on him all night, but he couldn't be saved. And I got out and prayed with him, explained the plan of salvation. His wife prayed, and me prayed. And the word of God got a hold of him, and he got gloriously saved. And then he said, I don't want it. I know you're in a hurry, but I don't want you to leave yet. I said, why? He said, I got to get the boy saved now. Got an 18-year-old boy. He got to get saved for me. Amen. He went and hunted him, brought him in, and he got saved. I said, I got to go. Said, no, you hadn't. Said, I got something else you've got to do before you go. I said, what? He said, you get in this old Jeep
And boy, me and I'll show you what. And I got in a jeep with him, and away we went. We went up across some bottom land and up on some hills and down a ridge. And we on the end of that ridge between those two hills and the back. He drove up on top of the ridge and tooted his own jeep. And I put his hands up, made him a loudspeaker out there and said, "Hey, fellas, this here man that's got me ain't the revenue officer, so don't shoot and don't run. Said he's all right." Carried him down there. There's seven of them run the whiskey still. Had 500 gallons of distilled liquor and 1,500 gallons of mashed ready to make liquor. Copper steel, which cost several thousand dollars. He said, "Boys, just one day got saved. My boy got saved. And I want all of y'all to get saved." And they said, "You now go about saved enough, don't you?" He grabbed up a devil bit axe and cut those barrels of liquor open, chopped them open, let that whiskey run down the creek, pushed all those barrels of mash off and run them off. And the pig said, "You believe me now, don't you?" He said, "Get on your knees, let this man of God pray for you." When I left that valley, all the seven of them were saved. Then they want me to go home and win their families to Jesus. I was away in the night getting back. But if that old man hadn't given that $10, I couldn't have got that. So who won that crown of Jesus? The old man's in here. I just went and done what he told me today. This is going to win somebody to Jesus. Had been him, it all went to hell probably. So I'm saying to you, you've invested and said, "Don't take this for bad and try to win to somebody." I'm afraid you ought to do the best I can with you. I appreciate it, and God bless you for it. I'll try to glorify God with it. And I say again tonight, I'm not apologizing, but my voice may take out crackly on me again. We got this extra speaker that's going to help some. Wish I was loose in my throat so I could loose every other way. But we'll do the best we can again tonight. And don't miss tomorrow night. Get every lost soul possible here tomorrow night. Because that's the last night. But the main reason is, if you get a bunch of lost souls, we should have 35 or 40 saved tomorrow night. Amen. And if you get them here, they'll be saved. Because this meeting's building to that point. And if you get them here, I believe they'll be saved. Yes, so get every lost person possible in this service tomorrow night. For the glory of God. Yes, for the salvation of the souls. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for what you've done for the camp over at Myrtle. God bless all of you. I love you for it. May we pray. Our Father, tonight, we realize we're dealing with human souls. They're in a balance. And we pray that through the word we may be able to tilt the scales to where they'll come up on your side. God, we pray for every soul in this building tonight. I pray, Lord God, that every soul that's not saved will be so convicted. Move on them with sin-killing and soul-saving power. Dear God, I pray that you'll let us hear the cry of newborn babes at this altar tonight. Grant our Father, you privilege us sitting in the delivery room and watching you birth children into your kingdom. We pray thy blessings upon this church and the churches represented. Bless this dear pastor. Thank you for him and his dedication to winning this country to Jesus. Dear God, take thy servant now, loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give us holy unction. And grant this shall be the arrow that you want it to be. Not what we want to be, but what you want it to be. Oh God, in Jesus' name, help us tonight. For Christ's sake. Amen. In the book of 13th chapter of Luke, you'll find these words. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are the few that be saved? He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it, and shall not be able." Then turn back to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And the 13th verse.
Matthew 7:13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As Jesus was going through the cities and villages, journeying towards Jerusalem, headed towards the crucifixion, one of the disciples said, "Lord, are there few that be saved? Lord, is there just going to be a few saved? Just a few?" Jesus said unto them, "Strive in into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it and shall not be able. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now that Jesus Christ said, few that were going to be saved. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Everybody's got religion ain't going there. And about 75% of the average church membership's not going there. Jesus was asked this, he said the question, are there going to be many saved? Few saved, rather. Jesus said there'll just be a few. Strive to enter in, because straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. Now that's the words of the Son of God. Not Perseray, not somebody else, but the words of the Son of God. And you know, he can't lie. So if you're one of the few tonight who know that you're saved beyond any shadow of a doubt, you can get on your knees and thank your God, "I'm one of them." Many are called, but few are chosen. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that there's just a few going to get in. And I want you to say tonight, my friends, if you can get in at all, then you better be putting forth an effort. That's what Jesus said. Amen. The gate is straight and the way is narrow, but strive, press, struggle to get in. Because just a few folks are going to get in. And you see, if you don't put forth an effort, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
So it's on your part. See, God's done his part. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
God willeth the death of no man. Hey, if God had his way, he'd save everybody in North Carolina in the next 5 minutes. But my friends, we are free moral agents. We're given a right of choice. And so Jesus said the responsibility is on you. See, God ain't going to grab you in the head and stomp your ribs off and shake your teeth out and make you get saved. He's offered you the way of salvation. Said, "I'm the door of this sheepfold. If any man enter in," it's your responsibility. You see, "for by grace are you saved through faith." That number says, it's the gift of God. You have to accept something for it to be your gift. And so he'll give you salvation, but you have to accept it. God ain't going to take a ramrod and crank it down. God ain't going to hold your nose and drench you with a gift. If you want it, God bless your soul, you can have it.
Amen.
He said, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to be the Son of God." But the responsibility was on the individual. God can't force his step on you. We came into this world, my friends, as free will agents. And we're left to make a choice. And I'd have you realize tonight, every last one of you come in this world headed somewhere.
Amen.
This is not your permanent address. You're not here permanently. You're just here 80 years, then by reason of strength 80, and then you make your exit out. Hey, you come in this world headed out. And I don't care who you are, nor what you believe, nor what you think, you're still going out.
Yes, amen.
Generation after generation after generation is going out. They came and they went out. They entered this world, they went out of this world. They made their little pilgrimage, and then they made their exit. You're going to make your little pilgrimage, and then make your exit. In
tells in the book of Hebrews that is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So there's two appointments you're going to keep. I don't care who you are, nor what you believe, nor how you feel about it. There's two appointments you're going to keep, ladies and gentlemen. One is death. And after that, the judgment of God.
Amen.
As I told you last night, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
You may not confess it now, but you'll confess it
Amen.
Then. And I want you to realize, there's two appointments when you're brought into the world that you have to face. One is death, and the other is in judgment. Are you ready for death? Are you ready for judgment? If you're not, God's given you the space of 10 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, to make ready for the death hour.
Yes,
to make ready for the judgment day. You're going to have to get yourself like a pencil case with God because you sinned against God.
Amen.
You came into this world, my friends, and you're going out. None of you are going to stay here permanently. Tell you, they may make it to 100, but not much over. Most of us go before 85. And so as a result, if you have to make your exit tonight, are you ready? Few there be that enter therein. Are you one of the few that's ready to enter? Are you in that great multitude that's made no preparation yet? Now keep this in mind. It's nobody's fault but yours.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, put your turn, but it didn't excuse you. Church members says it doesn't excuse you. But I made up my mind I didn't want to go to hell. I lost sight of the crooked preachers
and
the crooked
church
members. I got saved. And when you make up your mind, my friends, you don't want to go to hell, you'll quit looking at hypocrites and looking at crooked preachers and sorry meetings and start finding how you can get saved.
Amen.
God, you say, but the person, I know so many crooks in the churches. Well, I got news to you, brother, sister, lads and lasses. God ain't going to measure you with hypocrites. God's measure stick is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God's measuring pot is Jesus Christ. God's example is Jesus Christ. How do you measure up to Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Quit turning up your nose and dragging in the crooks and trying to say that they're in your way. God ain't going to let you put any of them between you and him. It's what have you done with my son Jesus Christ that I sent to you. I sent you a gift. I sent you salvation. I sent you life. What's he doing with it?
Yes. Amen.
See, it's a gift. Nobody supported it. Can't have it. And the way is so simple, the way thing, man, even though being a fool don't have to get mixed up in it.
Right.
So you see, as a result, ladies and gentlemen, you got no excuse. Because it's not the will of God that any of you should perish. So if you perish, it's your fault.
Yes. Amen.
See, God's given you the gift of salvation. And God's opened the door for you. And God's made it possible for you to come in.
Yes.
And get in. Now, if you don't get in, whose fault is it? See, nobody's but yours. You can't blame nobody. You say, but preacher, I know so many hypocrites in the church. So lie. But I'd hate to be the buzzard of the devil run around for.
Amen.
You know, buzzards are peculiar fowl. They don't look for nothing but what's dead and sticky.
Amen.
And they'll go around and fly all over the country. And if they find something dead, they get down there and if it's nothing but a bird or a rat or a squirrel or something, they can handle it and eat it up. But if they happen to find a dead cow or a dead horse or a dead sheep or something, they won't eat it too much of it. They'll fly down on it and peck it. And it's good, rotten, and mellow, ready to eat. They won't eat it. They'll fly all over the country and notify all the other buzzards.
Yeah.
Come, we're going to have a picnic and a family reunion.
Yeah.
We got the food down there. And you'll see every buzzard in the country fall down. You watch it. Every buzzard in the country will fall down. Old buzzard, you pull them down in there. And they'll eat and eat and eat till they can't hold no more. Then they'll fly up on a dead limb in a tree or on a fence post, sit there in the sun. Till they can get sick enough to vomit it up, so they can go back and eat some more.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people just like that old buzzard.
Yeah.
They all the time running around hunting and hunting.
Yeah.
So, dead by mistaken hypocrite. And just ordinary members, they won't say much about it. But you let a preacher, a deacon, or a song leader, Sunday school teacher go bad, and they see him, and they run around all over the dock and say, "Hey, have you heard about it? Hey, come here. I won't tell you about that preacher. I won't tell you about that being bad story about preachers and deacons. We don't even claim to be that. We wouldn't be that sorry. No, you wouldn't, but you'd be a bush of the devil hunting for the dead hypocrites.
Yeah.
And eat men and vomit them out.
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody come back and see you vomit up that old hypocrite you eat.
Yep.
Hi, friends. Sure, we got a bunch of dead dogs in the church, but I'd hate to be the busher of the devil running around hunting them.
Amen. Amen.
You ought to have a little bit more dignity than being a busher.
Yes. Amen.
The feast reality tonight. I want you to realize you're in this world. And I got news to you. If you're going to wait for all the hypocrites to get out of the church and get saved, you as well get a fan in your hand and get a suit, summer suit of clothes on. You fix the spit hair wide open.
Amen.
There has been a church about hypocrites, and they never will be.
Amen.
You just face facts tonight. God puts you in a world that's full of hypocrites. God puts you in a world that's full of devils. And he made a way for you to escape and not go with them. Or he's let you make up your own mind if you want to live with the hypocrites and you want to go and spend eternity with the hypocrites, help yourself, hell's going to be full of them.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in the church with a few of them than to be in hell alone.
Yes.
Because that's where they're going. And so I want to say to you tonight, you in this world, you are traveling through a world that's not Christian. You're traveling through the world that's full of demons and devils and sinners. And you travel in a world where Jesus hung on the cross. He said, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved." He didn't say, "Look to the hypocrites and the preachers and the deacons of the church." He said, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved." See, he fixed it. No matter how far you are, you can look. No matter how deep in sin you are, you can look. You may be in the very depths of sin, but you can look.
Yes.
You may be in any miles of God, so to speak, but you can still look.
Yes.
And be saved. What you looking at tonight? Jesus, the way to be saved, or looking at a bunch of preachers and church members and what have you? Hey, you on your journey. God puts you out in the world and traveling through, and there's Jesus to look at, and there's hypocrites. And defunct church member. Which one you looking at?
Yes, amen.
Face up tonight. You're on your journey. But I'll tell you one thing, on the authority of God's word and on the authority of the passage spirit, you're going to die.
Yes, amen.
Nobody argued because he's not going to die. Then God said, after death comes to him, he said, it's going to end and wants to die. They all died from generations after. All right, if the appointment of death is so, then the appointment of the judgment is so. And God's not going to judge you by how good you are, nor what you did or didn't do. He's going to judge you by his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the yardstick. Jesus is the thing that he's going to weigh you out with. Not with anything else or anybody else. So here you are. Jesus said, "Strive and win." At the straight gate, for few there be that find it. If you can be one of the few that get saved, you ought to do it while you can. There'll be a day when you can't, people. So as a result, you need to stop and realize that. You can't argue. You've come to the world to go out. This is not our permanent address. I keep saying it. Your permanent address is in eternity. Now God opened the highway and the long way. God opened the blessing way and the cursing way. God opened the heaven way and the hell way. And then he's just standing in the forks of the road to decide which way you want to go. Want to raise the question, which way you headed tonight, hell or heaven? Jesus said, "I'm the door. If any man enter in through me, he'll be saved. If you climb up in any other way, you'll be counted as a thief, and these are all men that don't steal, kill, and be cast out in that day." So I'd have you realize, you can't get in where God is except through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me." I want that you, if you plan on getting heaven, you're going to go through Jesus. not through being good as them church members. You say, I'm good as the preachers, I'm good as church members, I'm good as that crowd goes to church. You are good for nothing but hell if you hadn't been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's all you're good for.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said few. He ought to know he's keeping the score. And so, my friends, just a few shall enter in at the straight gate. And so he can give you the specific size of heaven. And he does. We have the specific size of heaven. But he didn't give the specific size of hell. He said it's being enlarged. See, God's going to keep on birthing people, letting people be born year after year. And saving those that let him save them until he gets enough to fill up heaven. And then he'll close the deal. And so many people are rejecting Jesus and refusing Jesus. He's having to make hell larger to hold the crowd. But one of these days, God bless your soul, he's going to get one more. Yes. And that's going to fill up heaven. And she's all over.
Amen.
And you better get your name on the roll before that day comes. You better get that thing settled before that day comes. Strike in into the straight gate. In at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that lead to destruction. Many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, F-E-W, there be that find it. Have you found it? Then praise God, rest your life.
Yes.
We ought never stay quiet.
Right.
We ought to praise the Lord day and night.
Amen.
If God's let us find the way and get our name on the Lamb's Book of Life, and be one of those few that God saved, glory to God, we ought never shut up.
Amen.
Ought never to be quiet. But if you haven't, then you need to be crying to God for help. That's what you need to be doing. So I want you to realize, Jesus gives us a very vivid picture. Now then, listen to this preacher. I don't care how intellectually strong you are, or how ignorant you are, how rich or how poor. There's two, three things that's truth, and you can't change it.
Yes.
There's good ways, there's bad ways.
Amen.
There's high ways, there's low ways. There's blessing way, there's a cursing way. Nobody can deny it.
That's right.
And you listen to me tonight. Every step away from God is down. Down. And the further from God you go, but the further down you go.
Amen.
Every step toward God is up, up. And the further you go towards God, the higher up you get.
Amen.
Until eventually it gets so high you can't go no further.
Amen.
Now which way are you going? From God, if you are tonight, you're going down. Every step, you get a thing is, I say, every step away from God is down. And the farther from God you go, I don't care who you are, the further down you go. And every step toward God you go, the farther up you go. Now argue with that till the sun comes up and you'll not change the truth of it.
Right.
Amen. Because I don't believe it. Okay, you don't believe in the laws of gravity. Get out here. I say if you jump off that roof up there, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah,
I don't believe it. I'll bring you along, sir. Go ahead and jump off.
Yeah. Amen.
Whether you believe it or not, you must now get yourself bruised up.
Amen.
And there's a highway and a low way, hell way and a heaven way. Whether you believe it or what you don't, you get out there and you find the laws of God and go down and sink in sin. You'll find out I told you the truth.
Amen.
You're headed one way or the other tonight. No, there's no neutral ground. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And if you're not standing with Jesus, you're going down the hill of the devil. I don't care who you are, what your religion is, or what not. If you're not with Jesus, then you're against Jesus, and you're going down. So Jesus gives us a very vivid picture that I want to try to lift out and let you look at it tonight. In the distance, there are two gates. You know what it pictures? Two gates. All right. They are city gates. They are, that insinuates that there's walls or fixed. When you have gates, you have a wall. You have a place fenced in when you have gates, when you wouldn't need gates. So beyond these gates are these walls that Jesus speaks of tonight. You can't see beyond the broad gate.
Well, then that's a lie. You can't see beyond the straight and narrow gate with a natural eye. But according to all we can find out, these places beyond these gates are the inhabitants of humanity.
They're habitated with human beings. Both places, Jesus said. Many there be which go in there of a broad gate. Few there be that enter therein.
So, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Son of God, beyond that wall is human habitations.
Right. How come them in there? Their choice.
Right.
Nobody pushed them in. Nobody forced them in. Nobody deceived them in. They're just there of their own free will and accord. Whosoever will let him come. God willeth the death of no man. If you go in there, it's your going. It's your choice. It's your route. So hidden beyond the views, there's the dwelling place of human habitation. We cannot see beyond these walls that where they hid. Now let's look what Jesus said. One gate is wide and ample. Many can enter it at any one time.
Yes.
Notice, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Broad is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which enter therein.
So that's the picture that Jesus leaves. The reason the city is larger and more inviting, more attractive or exciting, everybody is traveling toward it. Everybody else is living like that.
Everybody else is doing that.
Yes,
brother. Everybody else lives like that. Well, God bless you, some of them.
Amen.
Jesus said there's a few that ain't going that way.
Amen.
And I know a few ain't going that way.
Amen.
And I know ain't going that way.
Amen.
Everybody's not doing it. But that's the talk. Well, everybody else living like that. See no harm in this, see no harm in that. The television medium has so brainwashed America till nothing else is wrong tonight.
Right.
Everything's all right because they painted it all right. But I want you to know tonight, my friends, it's more inviting. It's very attractive. It's very exciting. Then the other gate, Jesus said, is straight, narrow, and confined. It looks from a distance as if it would only admit one at a time. It is very unattractive. Therefore, looking as if behind the gate, the city would be uninviting and very unattractive. The straight and the narrow gate, Jesus said. It's a struggle. You have to strive to get there. In other words, my friends, said only one at a time looks as if only one comes. It's a narrow gate. It's a straight gate. You have to raise your up to Jesus to get in it.
That's right, amen.
It's narrow, only one at a time can get through it.
Amen.
And that's so. Of course, you have to be born into the kingdom of God in there.
Right. Amen.
And just one born at a time. You saw old people got saved right the next 5 minutes. I don't make every one of them time by birth.
Yes, amen.
Twins may be born, but one of them come at a time.
Right.
And we're born in the kingdom of God. One of us birth at a time. God works so fast in the twinkle of an eye, he can do it. But he don't do it all at the same time.
Amen.
Every one saved, but each one saved at a different time. So I had to realize the gate is very straight.
It's unattractive, if you please. Jesus said you're going to have to strive. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to settle this thing. You're going to do this straight.
It's very narrow.
Amen.
It's straight. It's unattractive. What's he talking about?
Well, just think about it for a minute. He tells us in the book of Isaiah that Jesus was despised and rejected, had no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. He was spit on. There's blood on him. Thorns on him, crowned with thorns.
The gate's made out of rough wood. It's got thorns on it. It's got blood on it. It's been spit upon. It's despised. Very unattractive. Very uninviting. So you sort of have to strive to go that direction. It's so narrow that just not everybody can go in. We got a lot of folks today say, well, going to be so narrow the sin question.
Yeah.
And on the church question, the religious question, going to be so narrow. We're living in a religious area being broad-minded.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of these modern preachers and modern professors and theologians and modern living people, they're so broad-minded. But the trouble when you get that gate, the wrong mind won't be so big you can't get through.
Right.
Only those who've got narrow minds can get through that. So if you're too broad minds, you better be drawing no head in. Now there's nothing about that gate that's attractive whatsoever, Jesus said. Not at all. To each of these gates, there leads a corresponding way, which we want to talk about. Toward the wide gate, there stretches a broad road. Looking towards the wide gate is broad road. Many can travel at the same time. As a matter of fact, folks are traveling it because, my friends, it's easier to travel because so many own it. Everybody else is going that direction. Everybody else is living like that. Ample room on it for all travelers. And it's so easy to travel the broad road. So easy to travel the broad road. You know why? As I said, it's down here.
Yeah.
Just like rolling down here. You don't have to put forth no effort. Like floating down the stream. You don't have to put forth no effort.
My friends, I'd have you realize tonight that it's easier to travel because it's downhill. Oh, the bright lights that's on it. Flashing bright lights. Announcing all kinds of excitement. It's also easy because we came in the world with a depraved nature. We came in the world headed to hell.
And our nature's headed that direction. See, my friends, you'll continue to go towards hell until you let God change you.
Right.
If God don't make a different creature out of you, you're hell bent, you're hell determined, you're hell for sure. Because
yes.
Your nature is to pray. I'm even to pray. We come in the world with evil, and then goes, I say, in sin did my mother conceive me.
Right.
We both will speak and rise in our infancy. And I want you to know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, before God Almighty, if you die in your the way you come in the world, you'll go to hell.
Because
that's your very nature. Just like you catch a fish, you keep out of it, throw him in the water. The natural thing for the fish to do is start swimming. So as you're born to work, it's natural for you to start lying.
Right.
And start living for the flesh and the pride of life. And resisting God and resisting holy. That's your nature.
Right.
See, my friends, if you start towards God, it's a struggle. You strive. You have to put up a fight to get to God. But you don't have to put up no fight to go to hell. You just go on because of your depraved nature. And the seducing spirit, every kind of spirit seducing you, encouraging you. But come on.
He said, in the last days, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils will come in great quantities. And so you don't have to worry about if you don't
start drifting with the current. Those men out there with all kind of tools trying to get that tree top out of that propeller. And they couldn't have had luck. And we just drifted downstream. We drifted 2 or 3 miles. And several's out there watching those poor fellows work. They said, they're to death. We just have a time. Said, well, if they drift all the way 20 miles, we're going to get to ride back free. We banged across the river. But we're fishing to get a free ride. And it's a lot of fun. And we're just all joking, them poor fellows working. But all of a sudden, down the river, it began to make up the river. I mean, a bend. Had a bend in the river. When they got near to that bend, they went to shooting fireworks into the sky, some of the brightest fireworks I ever saw, they begin to blast. Some of the loudest blasting fireworks I ever heard begin to shoot those fireworks. And then they turn on a bunch of whistles, as shrill as I ever listened at. And they begin to shoot them fireworks up in the sky. And they begin to fire guns. And they begin to do all kind of things. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" They said, "Sirs, just stick around the beam. There's an undercurrent. Undertow. Which is a swirl hoop. And if this ferry gets in it, we'll all be sucked to the bottom of the river and drowned. And it's 178 feet down at the bottom of this river." Then it wasn't so funny. And they said, "We're sending out emergency calls." All of the screaming, blowing of the whistles, shooting of the fireworks. It's all to say we're in distress. "Gentlemen and ladies, if we don't get some rescuers here before we get around the bend, you get ready.
Yes.
We're drowning."
Yes, amen.
It is no longer funny. We turned in trying to get the thing out of the treetop, out of the propeller. Anything we can do. What can we do to help? And we just about 50 yards from the bend of that river. And it looked like we were going to hit it. That'd be all of us are drowning automobiles to be in the bottom of the river. But just before we went around the bend, here came some rescue boats. And they had sent out signals to other rescue boats up and down the river. And here they came. And they began to throw ropes over it. And they began to tie it. And then head to the riverbank and drive sticks in a hurry. And the boats began to pull back on it. And finally, just before we got around the bend, they stalled in that boat. Those men got out and fell down the bank of the river, painted like dogs had been chasing rabbits. They were soaking out. They were sure that they lost all of us. Now that's what I'm talking about. My friends, it looks like you're having fun. The swirl of the world. The swirl of the world. You're drifting along down the street. You're traveling downhill. You're floating down the street. You're saying, "Look what a time we have." But just around the bend, just around the bend is a pit that is bottomless. Not 178 feet deep, but a place without anybody. Hell is waiting. And I want to tell you, when you get back, all the fireworks and all the screaming won't stop. You'll be sucked out there. But the multitude's going that way. The multitude's living that way. Which boat are you in tonight? Which direction are you traveling tonight? And I want you to realize, a lot of entertainment on that broad road. Everybody excited. Oh, it's thrilling. People are being thrilled. They can do anything they want to. Takes no effort. You don't have to do nothing to drift downstream. Just sit tight. You'll make it. You don't have to do nothing to drift downstream. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to lie. You don't have to meet your debts. You don't have to murder. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to. You don't have to do nothing to go downstream. Just sit there.
Right.
Just take it easy. You don't have to do a thing to go down the street. Not at all when you're going to hell. Hey, Jesus didn't say struggle. He didn't say put up a fight. He said it's a broad gate. Many that be which go in thereat. Any kind of people can travel it and enter into it. Hey, any kind of people can travel that broad road. You can be a drunkard and travel it. Drink all the booze you want to drink. Get drunk as many times as you want to. You on that road. You can help yourself to it. Hey, you can be old cusser, blaspheming, fighting, cussing right away, and go right on down that road. Do all the blaspheming you want to do. Do all the cussing you want to do. And beat up your wife and cuss her. And beat up the young and cuss them. Come in drunk and dark, the furniture. You can still go down the broad road.
Right.
You don't have to leave your beer cussing off, your whiskey drinking off. You don't have to leave your cussing pigs off. You can just go on down that road.
Right.
You don't have to do it. Just have everything you want to have. Tap your furniture, beat up your family, cussing, and raid the communities you want to. You can still go to hell.
Right.
You don't have to be nobody to go to hell. You can be a homosexual. You can be a lesbian and go right on down to hell. You don't have to quit nothing to go to hell. You can damn all you want to damn and just go on to hell. You don't have to quit damning going to hell. You can go out. My
You can be a harlot. You can be a whore.
You can be a whorewoman. You can be a murderer. You can be a raper. You can be a liar. You can be a sex pervert and still go to hell. You don't have to do a thing to go to hell. Just keep drifting.
Yes, amen.
Just keep following the undercurrent. Just keep following the seducing bitch. God haters, preacher haters, church haters, wife haters, husband haters. Anything you want to, but go ahead. You don't have to give up nothing to go to hell. You can be as mean as the devil and still go to hell. Just go on, cuss and drink and beat up your family and wreck your home. And damn everybody around you. Drink all the booze you want, take all the dope you want. Gamble all you want to gamble. Run after an old whore you want to. You don't have to quit none of that and go to hell. Have yourself free.
Yes, brothers.
Folks going to hell don't have to give up nothing. You don't have to deny yourself of anything. And listen, so I said a minute ago, you don't have to do nothing to go to hell. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to lie. You don't have to steal. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to gamble. You don't have to murder. You don't have to blaspheme. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Just falling with the ground.
Right.
You can be as clean as an angel and go to hell. You can be the most perfect man in town and go to hell. You can be better than the preachers and the deacons, all the churchmen, throw you together. Outweigh all those and still go to hell.
Yes, amen.
Folks don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Anybody can go to hell. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, all folks can go to hell. It's open. And it's down here. And there's no struggle. You can travel it. All of it can enter it. And I realize, God help you, my friends, nobody's going to keep you from going. You can hate God. You can rebel. Hey, rebel all you want to. Go on to hell.
Yes.
You can be as bullheaded at God and stiff-necked as you want to be at God. You can be bullheaded with your priestly brothers and with the church of Christ. Just stiff and old bullheaded. And you're rebelling and resist God and resist the Christ. You can still go to hell.
Yes.
This will be as mean as it ever. Raise hell about the church and the preacher and the Christian. Raise hell about your wife or your husband goes to church. Raise hell about your young ones going to church. Go ahead and bitch all the bitch you want to bitch and live like a devil and still go to hell.
Yes.
You don't have to quit none of it to go to hell.
That's right.
But if you're going to heaven, has to be a new creature made out of you. So as a result, my friend, there it is. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Or you can do anything you big enough or little enough to go to hell. After all, anything you want to do, have yourself, fellas, you don't have to put none of it to go to hell. Just do anything you're big enough to do. Do anything you're little enough to go down to do. Have yourself. If God said any steps you want to, you'll have to quit nothing to go to hell. Go ahead and have yourself. The broad gates open. And the broad road's there. Many there be who's going to, you see, while you're going. You see a lot of churchmen and broken preachers and all of the folks all away. It looks like everybody can you just going with you. See, everybody's on your side. And going to hell, nobody persecutes you.
That's right, brother.
No man pokes fun at you. They don't make it difficult on you to live for the devil.
No.
You can live for the devil all you want to. Nobody gonna make fun of you. Nobody gonna persecute you. Nobody gonna call you some names because you're living for Jesus. I mean, because you're living for the devil? No. You will not get laughed at. You will not have any fun poked at you. You will not be called weak-minded. You will not be called a club boy. You will not be called some screw-up. Some weak-minded idiot. Just go on to hell with all your praise. With all your time. You won't be laughed at. Nobody will persecute you. Nobody will swear at you and criticize you for going to hell. Because everybody's going that way.
Yes.
You win with the crowd.
Amen.
So they can't afford to make fun of their own crowd.
Yes, amen.
Broadway. Look who all's going. That's the whole business. I want you to realize, my friends, I'm telling you the truth, but I want to teach you a little something.
That's right, brother. Amen.
What I'm telling you, folks, you know I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Nobody has to do anything to go to hell.
That's right,
or you can be as mean as hell itself and still go to hell. You can do anything you want to do. Hey, fellas, you don't have to quit nothing if you want to go to hell. You don't have to give up nothing if you want to go to hell.
That's right. Preach on.
You
have to suffer. Now, if you want to go down the broad road, no sacrifice, no suffering, no struggle.
Right.
Jesus said the narrow road, there's striving, there's struggling. We're on the road to hell. There's no effort to go forward. You don't have to strain to go to hell.
Right.
You don't have to try to go to hell. You don't have to strive to go to hell. All you have to do is just throw off the brakes and fellas will split open.
Right. Amen.
Sprawl. Bright lights. All kind of entertainments. Your crowd, you like swells, are going to hell with you. So you don't have to give up nothing to go to hell. You don't have to give up your crowd. You don't have to give up your dance. You don't have to give up your sex perversion. You don't have to give up your women and your men. You don't have to give up gambling. You don't have to give up cussing. You don't have to give up lying. You don't have to give up beating up your wife, raping your home. You don't have to do nothing but just swarm. You'll light up in hell.
Amen.
Just face it. Towards the straight gate, it's a narrow gate. It's a very narrow pathway. Difficult to find. It's hard to travel. You know why? It's a straight and narrow road. Few are being that find it. And when you own it, you look around. Look like you're the only one born that way. On a bed, you see some old saints struggling, striving to get in. You have to turn and look. Maybe a good little piece before you see another coming. It's so difficult. You have to just keep on striving. And the crowd say, look at them weak-minded crap puppets. Look at them poor silly things. Look at that oddball Christian. Them good folks. Them Jesus followers. Look at them. Spitting on you. Criticizing you. Lying on you. Making fun. Hissing at you. Jesus punch. Christ follows. Church people. Hey, preacher. Deacon. Look at
them. Amen.
The persecution crowd is pouring into you. They're lying on you. They're gossiping about you. They're poking fun at you. Look at that square. Look at that oddball. Look at them women and weak-minded dudes going to hell. The heaven crowd, look at them. Look like they can see their father share and they come and join the multitudes. Poor in the face. Ain't God says nothing. No, there's not very many people to breathe that junk. Look how few folks breathe that stuff. Poor in the face. Look like that while they wake up and realize that on that road, there's not very many.
The ones out on it is having a hard struggle. They're hated, they're despised, they're rejected, they're made fun of. Because Jesus said there would be few companions on the road. Few. We have so few buddies.
So few companions. It's awful lonesome sometimes. You dedicated Christians know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you're on that straight and narrow road, you ain't got many buddies. You ain't got many folks standing with you. I used to be a wrestler and an athlete. You know the thing that challenged one of the things challenged me to become a Christian? I realized it took more manhood and backbone and red blood and guts to follow Jesus.
Yes,
than anything else.
Amen.
I never did have no use for sissies. And softness and twine-string backbone dudes. One of the things that made me accept that Jesus way because it's such a struggle.
Yes,
it'll build your muscles.
Amen.
It'll build you up and know I'm going out and have to go. And I'm going because I need to.
Amen.
I'm no sissy. I'm no softy. I'm no coward. I'm going because I didn't have to, but because I want to.
Amen.
It's my choice.
Amen.
Get them old minds. It's a struggle. But I'd rather be laughed at and spit on and cussed and despised and rejected and hit some rough places and be all by myself and be somebody. The
drifting, floating carcass.
It takes dead horses and dead cows and dogs to drift downstream. It takes rocks to roll down the hill. It takes something with lightning to go against the current and go up the hill. Any old dead carcass can drift to hell. Any old corpse can drift to hell, float to hell, roll down to hell. The thing I like about the state now, roads not that bad. Jesus expires, blind,
that's what I love about it. I want you to realize, to each you their way, they lead your corresponding way. I want you to know, my friends, towards that straight gate, God help you to realize, sacrifice on this road, lonely road, so few on it. You're cursed and hated by the crowd on this road, made fun of, despised, rejected, and ignored, and looked down on. I'm very inviting. My friends, inside of the straight gate. And that old grape has been spit on. Got thorns on it, rough wood, bloody. Despised and laughed at and rejected. And it looks like there's nothing beyond it. Looks like there's nothing there. It's such an unattractive game, such a narrow, rough-looking game. The world's despised it and rejected it. Don't look like there's much beyond that gate. But all of a sudden, you squeeze through it. Your feet's on streets of pure gold. Your hair rolled and ruined and dirty. White as snow. See a city, a great city, and you see a great throne in the state, and you see God on that throne, and you see the angels to carry you through. Yes, it is. Then you look out from that throne, and you see water clear as a crystal river running up under that throne. Runs down here, and there's trees bearing 12 men of fruit. You just go down the old one walk, there's left four different varieties. Help yourself. If you feel bad, eat one of the leaves. And you feel good. There it is. And as you get inside, walk down those gold streets. You don't see no graveyards. You don't see no funeral homes. You don't see no hearses driving down the street. You don't see no hospital. You don't see no honky-tonks. You don't see no duke-tonks. You don't see no pool halls. You don't see no liquor night. You don't see no walls. You don't see no libraries. You don't see any death angels. You don't see any graves on the hillside. You don't see any apples, night that comes and goes in. The eternal day that'll never turn to night. You see nobody leaving from that. And you dare women won't happen. I'm cooking Venus because he's got trees bearing the fruit of Venus. And bless your dear hearts, dear sisters. You won't have to wash and scrub for us old dirty men. The robes we put on won't ever have to be washed on. They said to defile those robes. And you don't have to drink, say goodbye to anybody that's in it. But the Bible said every year's robe is not there. There it is. Look at it. You look a little funny. And you see a number that nobody can tell how it is. Under the throne, under the throne. They got on white robes. They cry out, how long, how long, how long? And John said, who are they in those white robes? And he said, these are they that's made their robes white. In the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And if it's the blood of the Lamb, they'll never come dirty again. They'll never come discolored again. White robes to wear for them. No more death. No more death. Woo! Look at that. And no doubts. And no hindrance. And no man. There it is. And never be another beast. Never be another devil. Never be no more sin. Never be no more heartaches. Never be no more fevers. Never be no more blind, crippled, cancer-ridden, even a bedridden souls. Glory to God.
watch your kids. Get all the folks that you loved and wanted in Jesus. There they are. Shouting up and down the street saying, thank you for preaching to me. Thank you for singing for me. Thank you for standing for Jesus. So I can find the way. There you go. And about the time you think you've had all you can stand, Jesus will come and say, come here, brother. Come here, sister. I want to show you what I think for you. He'll walk down through eternity, down one of those old streets. He said, see that mansion? See that one? I'll build it for you. Go in and see how you like it. And my friends, I don't know how we stand. Cause it. You see, he just spent 6 days creating everything in this universe. Everything you see, he just spent 6 days making it. By him, for him, was everything created. And now, then, just 6 days, he's been all this that you and I don't know about people. But me, he's been here 2,000 years, getting that ready. You can imagine what it's going to be like. I don't try to blow my peanut brain to try to figure it out. But he's been working on for 2,000 years. And listen, honey, he's fixing it. Taylor made for me, see? Taylor made for me. Taylor made for you. He didn't fix it. He's from somebody else. He does everything. Never he's an individual. And he fixed my mansion to fit me. He fixed your mansion to fit you. And glory to God, you know wrong being fixed. He knows what time to put on me. Yes, it's been rough. Yes, it's been so. But Jesus said, it's worth it. The thing don't look so good. Just come on in. And there'll be no end. Hey, if you get in, there's no end. Strive in at the straight gate. There it is. God help us to realize it, my friends. Then let's look again. Therefore, in at the straight gate. To stand alone is the reason it's difficult. To enter the gate, much is required. To enter it, the straight gate requires purpose, submission to God, surrender to God's will, surrender to God's plan. Not enough to see the gate. We must enter it, if you please. We can, my friends, through Jesus Christ, enter it. As we go through the gate, there's all of the blessings we can own us as we enter in. So, then let's look again. Inside the wide gate, inside the broad gate. Bright lights. Hallelujah. I want to have the power of the light. Satisfied every desire of the flesh, every lust of the eye, every appetite I have. Whoa! What a time to have. Following that good old broad road. Getting them lights pretty bright. Look, everybody's going to us. Everybody else is doing it. So we're in good shape. Woo! Look what a time we have. We can dance, we can drink, we can cuss, we can lie, we can steal, we can hate God, we can hate the preacher, we can make fun of the church, we can beat up our wives and children, or the wife can beat up the husband and kids, and at any rate, the whole can raise hell over the corner. Woo! We can just do like we feel. We can do like we want to. Nobody, the preacher of God, nobody else can tell us what to do. I don't have to mind God. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to read the Bible. I just go this road. So wonderful. So wonderful. Everybody else is doing it. I'm not by myself. Praise God. That's what the folks for. Well, I'm having a time. But when that broad gate swings open, you don't step on streets at all. You step in a pit of liquid flames.
Amen.
You see the waves of God draft over like the tides of ocean. You see the smoke falling up forever and ever. And in the curls of that smoke is forever. You hear the demons calling all the way through. You can stand in there. No place. It's a bottomless pit. And your tongues begin to thirst. But there's nothing to kneel on and pray in hell. Nowhere to kneel down and pray in hell. And if you pray, God won't hear it. You've trampled his son's blood under your feet. You've done despite to him and to his grace. And he won't hear you. Look, the rich man cried out for a drop of water when he came. Said nothing to God. You had no change in good things in this life. Now you're tormented. And beside that, there's a big stuff. And you'll never get out. Whatever God does, it's forever. You can't add to or take from. And the Son of God in God put a fixed up between heaven and hell. Whichever side you land on, by choice. Nobody forced you to heaven. Nobody forced you to hell. You pick which side of the gulf you want it on. Man. But once you land on the side in hell or heaven, there'll be no change in it. Jesus said, no one can come down to you, neither can you get out and come up here. It's a fixed duck. And there's no crossing either way. You made it forever. There's a gulf so deep and so dearest, you can't cross it. No one else can cross it. Gulf! Gulf! But no one can cross. And as a result, who takes it? God takes it. Whatever God does, it's forever. You can't add to it, take from it. Now you got all these black old bean town buds running around here and tell you they can pray the whole time of the biggest lies in the world. Yet right. They're telling you the truth that Jesus Christ is the biggest lie that ever lived. But Jesus said, it's a fixed up, and there'll be no crossing either way. Then he prayed and said, sin, Lazarus, back to my father's house. I've got five brothers coming here. I don't want them here. Jesus said, nothing built. They've got Moses and the prophets down there. Let them hear Moses. Let them hear the prophets. He said, yea, though, if one went back from the dead, they'd repent. Said, not so. They won't hear my God-anointed prophets and preachers. They wouldn't hear one from the dead. And I'm not bothered about saying anybody back down there to change them. They got the same change you have. The narrow way was open. I told them to aspire to enter in. And they chose the broad gate and ease you out. And they've come to hell just like you've come. I'm not saying anybody back from hell or heaven. They're hit back right on the way. They know the way. It's so simple the way. Back now, these boys, these fools don't have to get mixed up in it. You knew better. You just didn't do nothing about it. And they know better. They don't remember about it. They're happy for hell just like you're there. I'm not coming down there to change anything. Yes, my friend. Look out that hill. There they are. There they are out there in hell. There they are out there struggling. Let's notice some things going on. There they are. They cast away in the darkness where there'll never be another light. Yes, inside of the destructions and the loss of the soul. Darkness, misery, suffering, shame, and everlasting contempt. And as a result, my friends, no honor. In hell is no rest. In hell you don't get honored. In heaven you get crowns. See, up there in that straight and narrow, when you went through there, you got a lot of crowning. God put a bunch of crowns on us. But in hell, there's no honor. There's no rest. There's no peace. In hell, there's no place of repentance. In hell, there's no place of mercy. No hope in hell. No crowns in hell. Nothing but misery and woe. Nothing but fire. Where the fire is never quenched. Where the worms die not. Worms. Literal worms. Eternal worms. Worms you can't kill. Worms you can't get rid of. Worms. Worms gnawing and a crawling and a nagging and torture. Worms. Worms forever. Worms everywhere. Worms without an end. Fire that's never been quenched. And you hear weeping and gnashing of teeth. Screaming, no rest day nor night. None at all. There they are screaming day in and day out. You can hear their teeth chattering. My friends, no rest, no hope. And hey, you can't have a dope in hell. And no morphine in hell, and no opium in hell. So you can't get your pain killed in hell. Well, you can't suicide out of hell. You can't change your status in hell. Your character won't be changed in hell. Whatever kind of character went to hell, you'll be in hell when you cry. You're a sex pervert, you'll be in there in the midst. God will put you with a sex pervert. If you're an old drinking, drinking cusser, he'll put you with your crown. Well, if we, okay. He said the angels gather off the wheat out of the tares. Bundle them up. Throw them in the fire. What's it mean? He's going to put all your old drunks and beer head in the same crowd. He's going to put all you old harlots and whores and prostitutes in the same crowd. Go put the homosexuals and sex perverts in the same crowd. Put them all together in hell. Well, that's time we're going to live here. God be awful unkind if he put you with some nice folks. You've been meeting as hell here. He puts you with the ones in hell as meeting as hell here. He'll put the nice folks with the nice. The meaners with the meaners. The drunks with the drunks. He'll put the murderers with the murderers. That's what he said. Pull them up. Pull them up. Gather out the tabs. Pull them up. Put the different kinds in their table. God will put you in the kind of crowd you've run with, live with, and act like. You old cussing blasphemers, God haters, home wreckers. God will put you in that crowd.
Amen.
God's running the same.
Amen.
You make your bed in hell, you need to get rid of God. God's going to be there with his brimstone and fire. God's going to be there pouring out the gall, bitterness. God's going to be pouring in cruel venom to the asp. Yes, God's going to control hell too. God's going to run hell. He created hell, and he'll run hell.
Amen.
You say this to me. I love him.
God, like you preachers put years. Send people to hell. No, he said, you went. He told you to try to get any other way. But you didn't try. You took your chance. You went double.
Well, let's give a little more time. If your husband or your wife or your child died, your mom and dad died, what'd you do with them? You call the funeral home and have them embalmed and dressed up and buried in confusion. Or have them cremated. You mean tell you loved your mom, your daddy, your companion child, and take it out there and bury it and let it rot and burn and cheat. And that awful harsh and crude? Why didn't you just have them embalmed real strong and put them in the guest bed? In your bedroom, leave them there with you. You loved them so good. But why don't you have them embalmed with some this embalming fruit where they won't never perish nor spoil for years to come? And just have a funeral home man to dress them up and set them up or lay them up on your couch in the living room. If you loved them so good, why don't you burn them and keep them? Put your way. You got a better sense than that. It'd ruin our living quarters to have those corpses laying around in the house. Well, heaven is God's living quarters for him and his young ones.
Right.
And drag your old, dirty, seeking, rotten corpse, spiritual corpse up there would destroy God's living quarters.
Right. Amen.
So hell is God's graveyard. Hell is God's burying ground. Now you listen to this Baptist preacher. If God had his way in that, he wouldn't let you go there.
Amen.
Not the will of God that anybody should perish. God will of the death of no man. So if your old stubborn, rebellious, stiff will resists God and rebel against God and go to hell, what else can God do? I repeat, if God had his way, he'd save you.
Amen.
He don't will your death. You will it. So through your forehead and heart, stiff neck, you just are able to plunge in through the wide gate and drop off in hell. Who are you going to blame? Nobody but you. Nobody but you.
Broadway. Leader of the destruction. Remember, folks, you can't suicide out of hell. Remember, you can't get rid of the worms in hell. Remember, hell was made for the devil and the demons.
And if you go to hell,
you intruded on the devil. And you've intruded on the demons. You in their territory, you in their place. And I want you to know the demons and the devil will torment you forever and ever and ever. That's what he said he's going to do. And they'll be tormenting you forever and ever in hell. The demons are in there. That's their headquarters. That's their living place. That's their existing place.
And you jump off in there with them and you're going to have to put up with them through eternity. They won't let you out. You can't get out. And so I say, my friends, Jesus said, be better off if you, for you to suicide than
somebody tie a rope around your neck and drown you than it would to betray the Son of God.
You listen to this preacher tonight. I want you to know, Jesus said, if your hands keep you getting saved, better cut it off.
If your eyes find it, tear it out. If your foot's keep you getting saved, cut it off. It's better to go to heaven with one eye, one hand, or one foot than it is to go to hell, where the fire is never quenched, where the worms never die.
Face it tonight. Face it tonight.
What in the hell do you want in here? What in hell do you want? I repeat, what in the hell do you want? What in the hell do you want? Hey, what in hell do you want? What is it that you want? Well, you're going that way. You must want something. You must be after something, Jay. Or you wouldn't be gone.
I decided high noon, 1932. Wasn't a thing in hell I wanted.
And I said, I didn't want the other one here gone. I run to Jesus.
Amen.
Change my direction.
Now come on, fellas.
Ladies, gentlemen, last message. Answer me one question. What in the hell do you want? Why go to hell? What's the advantage to it? Where are you going to get help? What do you expect but trouble if you go to hell? That's the farthest distance from God.
There's two gates. One's narrow, one's broad. Two ways. One's narrow and straight. The other's broad. Who says? Hell and heaven. Which way are you going? Huh? You're going to scream the rest of your life?